Had some filet mignon. Put the asparagus in the air fryer. It's pretty good.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
The update I know you crave. What spaghetti craves when he takes out a plate, puts some food on. He's trying to live the healthy lifestyle, but unfortunately his alter ego, Eddie Spaghetti, too often won't let it happen. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66, we're a little bit in flux because we don't know who we're going to talk to by the end of this show.
Really?
But I know one person we're going to talk to. Let's say hello to him right now, all the way from London, England, our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Back, in case you missed it, he did announce that he was going to take a year hiatus, but a month ago he decided he's back in, thanks to Josh Rosen. It's Handsome Hank. No time.
No time for that.
No, indeed. Handsome, before we get into it, I'm sorry. I just finished off a lunch that also, since we're really veering away from pigskin and just pig and all other kind of foods and talking more and more about
being pigs.
Right, right. You, Eddie Spaghetti. By the way, somebody did on the Twitter machine say that Handsome Hank was actually handsome. They took note
that's
of
kind
the fact.
Eddie also responded to that. Oh, no, you responded and said, if only I could lose 35 pounds.
Then we'd really be cooking with gas, you know?
Okay. I'm going to make an effort, but my lifestyle doesn't necessarily lend itself to a 35-pound weight loss.
I know, but don't be selfish. As we found out on the last episode, some people don't know how to cook without gas. They don't know how, if you give them charcoal briquettes.
Charcoal, not happening.
They're lost, you know?
But looking has at a plan you, Eddie for an indoor smoker anyway. Not a gas smoker, so I'm confused about.
I had someone tweet at me who's from like the SoCal area, said like, come on over, I'll show you how to grill properly with charcoal. So I said, I just don't have a charcoal grill anymore, so it wouldn't really do
someone me I saw on Twitter, maybe you put it on there, had turned a filing cabinet into a smoker.
Oh, wow.
Like an old disused filing cabinet. They had like the middle drawer was full of wood, and then the top drawer was full of what you were smoking, and then chimney on the roof.
What are the top foods for that? We do have some football to discuss, but now that we're knee deep into food talk, let's continue. What are the number one foods, or are the number one things you can do to almost any food and it'll come out tasting good? Like we've talked about. Well, we'll start there. Smoke. If you have a smoker, if you smoke any food, it tastes good.
Yes.
People say, oh, I love.
I mean, there must be some foods that you wouldn't, but the basics, meats, fishes.
Well, people always like, oh, I love smoked whitefish. Smoked whitefish is my favorite kind of fish. Like, yeah, smoke anything.
Anything.
And it will taste good. We've also
talked about smoked spaghetti.
I don't know. I haven't tried it, so I can't reject it.
My guess is it wouldn't taste good.
I also have had, you know,
smoked cheese is good though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We've talked a great deal about the greatest fraud perpetrated on society over the last 100 years, or at least in the top 10, is this nonsense about lobster being a luxury item. That whatever it costs, who cares? Because the rare gift of a delicious 2-pound lobster or whatever, yeah, just dip it in drawn butter.
Right.
But
that's
guess what?
We're doing.
Dip anything in drawn butter.
It's
tastes good.
Be good.
I thought of another one recently, and I can't think of what it
is. What, that tastes good, but it's only tastes good
just
because of what you...
Whatever you put on it or in it or whatever, prepare it always is going to taste good because of what the surroundings are. Is there another one that lends itself so generously, so selflessly? I mean, drawn butter sets an example for the rest of us.
We were talking about the sort of the Bayonnaise, Hollandaise sauce family. Like that is the same idea, right?
Except I don't like it.
Well, you're an idiot.
I like that's not a nice thing to say. And it gives me half a mind to, what are you doing there?
Bacon wrap.
Oh, bacon wrap. I thought you were saying get over this subject.
No, like, that's
look
how you
look
wrap
fat, dude. You're the one who likes talking
that's
about
how I wrap my stuff with bacon.
Bacon wrap.
Circular motion.
What are the things that you've ever wrapped in bacon?
You could do like bacon wrapped scallops. I've seen bacon
that's
wrapped Brussels sprouts.
Seen that?
I've seen bacon wrapped. I've seen people do a full burger and you get multiple strips of bacon on going both directions.
There, right?
Yeah, like a plus sign around that.
How about just fruits?
Bait.
Well, dates? They do. Have you ever had a, some dates? Nice prosciutto wrapped around your cantaloupe?
Yeah, yeah.
Delicious.
That's
seems
fantastic.
Weird. It doesn't look right,
that's
but it tastes.
Thing. My friend just went to Italy. Said you can't go anywhere without them serving melon wrapped in prosciutto.
In prosciutto,
yeah.
There's nowhere to go in the nation.
He said it was
shocking.
He said it was shocking how every place just automatically gave that out.
When I first got to LA, I thought it didn't look right. It looked too indulgent for me. On the streets, when bars close, there's almost a ubiquitous guy there with a wiener grill, mm-hmm. and he's got all his wieners lined up, and they're all wrapped in garlic, and it smells divine. Have you ever had one of those?
No.
Divine Swine.
How do you wrap a wiener in garlic?
Somebody should name a TV show that and sell it to the Food Network. Divine Swine. All manner of swine prep.
Pig-based foods.
I'm going to pitch that to Joe Thomas next time I see him. Or yep. Jeff Schwartz. They both love to cook stuff.
Yeah.
Name drop times two. Hey, something else I want to drop that is an unpleasant subject. But before I forget, Amelia Fest is on behalf of our little girlie from our family who passed away a couple of years ago. She should be turning 16 this summer. But you can go to Amelia Fest. It's Emilia Fest.com and contribute to Cannonball Kids Cancer. They raise money for children fighting cancer, providing better treatments, quality of life, so on and so forth. So I know you see a lot of these and hear a lot of these requests, but if you have the ability to do so, go over to AmeliaFest.com and throw a little bit of support that way, if you don't mind. Much obliged for that. What else did I have to mention to you before we jump in here? Hopefully, well, we're going to talk to in the coming few shows. We'll see if David Carr shows up. We're hoping to catch up with David Carr.
Hoping David Carr is coming here.
There's been a lot of strife of late, football-related strife. David Carr sat where you sit right now, Handsome Hank, about 2 weeks ago.
I was here.
Yeah, and he said that Joe Montana, when ranking the Super Bowl-era quarterbacks, is not in his top 10. Joe Montana out of the top 10. A lot of people very upset with that, including ESPN's Lewis Riddick and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Outrageous. You know, it's a football opinion.
Yep.
Settle down, everybody. But anyhow, so we'll let him respond to that, and we'll get an update from him on AB and how it's going up there in the East Bay. And then a more recent conflict. We started out on the last episode talking about what Don McNabb laid out there. He said he's better than Troy Aikman and belongs in the Hall of Fame. We kind of got off of that fairly quickly. He's not as good as Troy Aikman. You're just not going to be able to compare those two.
No,
guys. One guy won three Super Bowls.
Some people might disagree, including Donnie himself.
Right. Unless you're in the bag for yourself or you know Donnie McNabb, Chunky McNabb, as I call him, based on his successful commercial campaign.
Yeah.
And also his physique.
Well, and also the fact he blew chunks on the field during the Super Bowl.
You know what, with Donovan McNabb, I'm glad you said that. You know, people always point out it's a good thing that wasn't captured on video because the video makes it so much worse. If Donovan McNabb had, if the football nation in the final moments of that Super Bowl had thrown up and we all just watched him throw up on the field, would that have expedited the end of his career?
Imagine if it would be one of those close-ups. Imagine if it's the line of scrimmage. You know, you get that nice close-up, you know, of a quarterback just pre-snap, and then he just buffed on the center's pants right in front of him.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, at least it was in a good moment where it was like, apparently it happened on the field by all accounts, but it wasn't like when they were at the line of scrimmage.
It's a good point. Yeah, you'd have to be a fairly proficient directional vomiter to not hit any of your teammates in that tight offensive huddle, right?
I mean, I can tell you, I think we're about a year away from one podcast we did almost exactly a year ago where I unfortunately had to leave very close to the end, then tried to throw up out of the window of my car and instead flooded the footwell with sick.
Well, one of the great highlights in the in the long history of the DDFP here at Studio 66.
It was a huge highlight.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really put two and two. You are our Donovan McNabb. Because you're also chunky.
But also not a good directional vomiter.
Oh, no.
No. I was trying not to vomit into my car. Instead, I vomited solely in my car.
That's right. You had to open your car door on the freeway.
And as I locked eyes with a gardener
Who are there? I'm surprised there aren't any more clever colloquialisms from you, our UK representative. You use the same ones.
Which one?
You have a different word. English people, as people like to make light of, have different words for basic items. What's a telly again?
Television.
Television, right. Yeah. You have all those different words. What's a bus? A lift? No, a taxi is a lift. Any, whatever, you know what they are. It's weird that you don't have better colloquialisms than we have. Blow chunks is what Englishmen say.
Oh, I just said
say.
That because it was you said chunky.
Okay, what do you say?
I don't know. Throw up.
You know. Pretty pedestrian, I gotta say.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. Don't beat get down fish. About it. But we did beat the fish.
Beat the fish.
Feed the fish. Yeah, I think I've heard that one before. Anyhow, we started out with the McNabb v. Aikman, but it quickly turned into a McNabb v. Eli conversation. And then from there, I jumped in with, I guess, maybe not necessary. It wasn't required, but once you're talking NFC East, Tony Romo better than Eli and Donovan McNabb by my measure. How say you, Eddie Spaghetti? You got involved on Twitter. And then
I agree with you on that.
And then Chris Wessling jumped in, and then you got upset.
I did not get upset.
You didn't get upset.
No, I think
handsome. You dig up those emails? Let's
emails.
Tweets. I'm sorry.
I'm not upset at Wes. I'm just upset at like Twitter as a whole is just a pretty stupid place when you start debating sports.
Here's what I would say about all of whether it's the point you made about Lewis Riddick and other ESPN people coming it up.
A professional writer said this is a fireable offense.
Yes, exactly. whether it's that
aggressive.
or some of the people that came back at Eddie when he disagreed. And look, people have different opinions, and Eddie's a Giants fan, and people are going to be more kind of bonded to players that play for their teams. That's understandable. Sure. Not everyone is woke enough to kind of divorce themselves entirely from their favorite things. Their favorite teams, players, whatever. Anyone
or
who
comes, right? Or
people,
wives.
Or wives, whatever. Anyone who comes at people on Twitter and cares as much as people seem to about the Eddie having an opinion that differs from theirs, regardless of how expert they think they are at forming their own opinions, I just am like, just guys, take a breath. This is football. It's a game. Mm-hmm. You are discussing it in a way that. On a social media platform, which is rife with other idiots talking about other topics in ways that get highly explosive. How about we just do it in a nice way and give your opinion without it necessarily becoming a conflict?
All right, where's the good ones? Where's the best one, Spaghetti?
Am I wrong about that?
No,
you're 100% right.
Of course.
And
people just seem to be a little bit too.
Oh, also, we sucked in our pals from CBS Sports, Brinson and Costas, who got into a little brush fire.
Brinson's so bad at this point. It's like he's like a troll. It's like I don't even take seriously anymore. I quote tweeted him a classic because he.
See, that seems like you are upset when you say stuff like that.
I'm upset with people who are clearly trolling, and he's never and ever spoke positively about any team from the New York area. He's always anti-Giants, and even Costas always. I know him a slight bit, Nick Costas, and he always makes fun of him for that. But my issue with the whole McNabb-Manning thing is the original point of the topic was, does McNabb belong in the Hall of Fame, or is he better than Troy Aikman? Basically, you're trying to figure out whose resume is the best, and it's inarguable that Eli's resume is far superior to Donovan McNabb's when you're trying to get into the Hall of Fame. So that's where the whole debate ends. And people seem to understand.
Well, I don't know if it is necessarily where the whole debate ends. And I think this is where people get confused. It's like, there's resume. That's one thing you could look at. There's stats. That's one thing you could look at.
Well, I include the stats as part of the resume.
There's, but. And there are some people who are like, my eyeballs tell me different. Okay, there's that.
That's what
as well.
I do.
Right, your eyeballs, all of those things can go into making your opinion.
Sure.
And the way you interpret what you saw of Donovan McNabb or Eli Manning could be different from what someone else sees. And it's fine. That's okay.
Right.
People have
ultimately, yes.
There is no right answer on this one. And if you believe passionately in your opinion and can defend it, then you're on to
I
right,
resent,
and so is the other person.
I resent the people, though, who say, who cares? Why does it matter? Of course, if you are in the conversation, as I always say about myself, I like conflict. I like perpetuating conflict between other people. I don't like being in the conflict. By the same sort of measure, people don't like to be ultimately, I don't think mostly, like being in or tangentially related to, like if you argue Steve Young versus Ben Roethlisberger, there's some percentage of woke analysts who will jump in with like, why does it matter? Who cares? Who's bad? How can't we just agree they're all great and go on with our day? No, then why are we watching the games? And what's the point of any of it then? It's all fun distraction, fun debate, subject
sure.
matter.
Sure, of but course. Let's
the
not.
The measuring stick is everything.
But let's not live and die on it. Like that. It's fine.
No, of course.
Ben, let's go home sure. and take a deep breath and talk about something else.
Don't right. chime in to say you don't care. Because that's yeah, what
that's all, those that's people.
That's
those
like,
people
why bother? If you don't care, yeah. then stay out of it. Don't chime in to say you don't care. But also, it's like, I also, and to go back to what I was saying about the resume thing, to come in and be like, well, Donovan McNabb's per game stats are better. Well, if you ask Donovan McNabb, would he rather have Eli Manning's career to end up where he will be all time Eli whenever he retires with the two rings, if not more, but I doubt it. He would trade his career for Eli's every single time. So that to me is the answer. Like I just don't.
I agree, the but whole there, point there's nuance. The nuance is, and Brinson is correct when he says, yes, but Romo would trade his career for Eli's sure. any day. And I agree with that.
Yeah, he would.
That's the, right. And I also think whether you think it's fair or not, Eli is going to the Hall of Fame and Romo is not. Because he won those big games sure. in January. So I am a QB wins guy. But I also can say, with my eyeballs, I can say Tony Romo was the better NFL quarterback over the course of his career.
I definitely would not argue. I'm not an Eli.
Not more talented, as some people have gotten confused by. Some people said, so Cam Newton is more physically gifted than Tom Brady, so he's a better quarterback? No. Talent doesn't equal player, but I think that Romo is a better player. Tom Brady is a better football player than Cam Newton is.
Sure. I totally agree. I'm not a huge
not as talented
biased guy. I can clearly say Romo was the better quarterback. Like I would take, you know, Michael Vick in his prime over Eli because of what he could do on the field. That being said, Eli's career is still better than ultimately than Vick's exactly. and a lot of other players.
I think the way to look at it as well is like what so Eli's peaks were higher than Donovan McNabb's peaks,
sure.
right? He
clearly.
Won Super Bowls, yes. and he had great playoff games, and he didn't
he's had
throw,
better,
and
he's
he
had
didn't
better
throw
seasons.
Up on the field in yeah. big moments, yeah. putting that aside. Eli's lows are lower than Donovan McNabb's lows ever got.
Sure.
And so Donovan McNabb's average game during his career was probably better than Eli Manning's, but Eli had the peaks that supersede anything that Donovan McNabb ever did.
Well, I also
that would be the way I'd look at it, and then you can say, "Great, on if you picked if you for a week seven game in 2003, who would you rather have? Probably Donovan McNabb for that one game. Mm-hmm. But whose career would you rather have? Probably Eli Manning.
Let's exactly. look at it this way. Let's do it this way. 21st century, basically, since Troy Aikman leaves, since he goes out of the NFL. Let's win, play, show the NFC's QBs. I almost feel bad. This is a perfect Will Brinson conversation.
Let's dial him up.
See if you can dial him up, Spaghetti. I know it'll be tough for you.
He'd put Matt Ryan at one.
Phil Rivers somehow gets on the list.
Yeah.
You refuse. Look at Spaghetti. He's like, I have my dignity.
I don't have his contact info. We'd have probably set that up and get him on Skype. We would run past your 12:30 hard out.
Will you tweet at him right now? Say we're doing this right now on DDFP and we need your input and do it to yep. Costas as well?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, so
handsome, I start with you. The Redskins QBs in the 21st century, I guess the best is Kirk Cousins? Is that
Brad
right?
Brad Johnson. Prime Brad Johnson with the Washington Redskins. Tough to beat.
I don't even think that was his prime. Was Gus Frerotte? That wasn't in the 21st
Frerotte
century, and I don't think he would make
century.
The list anyhow.
The
wait, to clarify, you mean of all time?
What if Alex yeah. Smith?
Since when?
Well, of all time.
What's the cutoff date?
2000. 21st
yeah, so
century.
Since 2000, which
since
team
2000.
Has had the best group of quarterbacks?
No, not the...
Here's another question. Ali at the news desk has a pretty good series running right,
right
now, the best quarterback by franchise. And he, you know, listen, as usual with these things, they're thought starters and you don't have to agree with it, which is good because I don't agree with many of his conclusions. Many of his conclusions are wildly
duffed.
Inaccurate. But still, you should check it out at NFL.com.
How about this?
You know what? Why don't you call him? Think locally, act global, act locally. Call him.
Think locally, act locally.
Let's get him up here. Heaven forbid he'd be sitting at his desk right now watching the DDFP as we record.
How about Bob Griffin III? Can we put him in there?
Okay.
He had a great rookie season.
His height he was, or maybe it's Donovan McNabb.
No, as we said 2 years ago, how crazy is it how fast football moves? If I would have told you, oh yeah, it'll be collectively understood that Kirk Cousins is the superior Redskins quarterback of the 21st century. Well, go ahead. Call. Can you hit up Ali too? Let's group think.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, look at that. He's up in his ivory tower.
Yeah. Eddie's way too.
Why don't you send him an email? Or can you text him?
I'll do something exactly.
Tell him to get himself to 66 ASAP, and we'll do that. I'll go this way. Of the 21st century, what a lousy group is what you realize.
I've just pulled up the Redskins quarterbacks from the 21st century. So Brad Johnson was there to begin with. Tony Banks and Jeff George shared the job in 2001. Shane Matthews, Patrick Ramsey, and Danny Werfel. Mark Brunell was there for 3 years. Jason Campbell had a relatively prolonged
period. Mark Brunell wasn't terrible there, right? Didn't he get him to the playoffs?
He's not in the conversation anyway.
What are we talking about? It's Romo.
Don't the Giants win automatically, though, because they had Kurt Warner, who's a Hall of Famer?
But we're looking for the best quarterback.
Don't be wise. Don't be that guy.
I'm trying to find loopholes. That's the only way to win.
He doesn't count. He didn't do his best work there. It's the one place. Somehow you guys were the only people who couldn't figure out how to effectively use Kurt Warner, who's in the Hall of Fame.
The Giants list is easier, right? You've got Kerry Collins, 2000 through 2003.
Who made a Super Bowl.
A year of Kurt Warner, and then Eli Manning since. So Eli Manning is definitely the Giants' representative.
Is Eli better than Phil Sims, Spaghetti?
I mean, most people consider Eli the greatest quarterback in Giants history, so I just take their word for it. I did not watch Phil Sims play.
You've never seen Phil play a game?
I mean, like...
Where's your intellectual curiosity? Like, you don't want to go back and watch a Super Bowl that involves Phil Sims?
I've seen, like, bigger games and NFL films type stuff. I've never watched, like, a full, you know, game recorded, you know, week 7 from Phil
Sims. Who's better, handsome? Phil Sims, one game. All the marbles. Who do you want, Eli or Phil? I guess you got to go Eli, and that's why he goes to the Hall of Fame, is because he's done his best work in the big game.
You go Eli. So the Eagles.
While Phil Sims also set the completion record in the Super Bowl, that was pretty clutch.
Didn't Jeff Hostetler win one though?
And how would we regard Phil Sims' career had he not gotten hurt and replaced by Jeff Hostetler, who then ended up winning that Super Bowl?
If he won the second one, then Sims goes to the Hall of Fame as well.
Well, I mean, yeah. And by the way, the thing that continues to be ridiculous, Eli's not going to go to the Hall of Fame, some people would contend. He's not the best. I am tempted to say he will be the most interesting test case to date, that he's won those two Super Bowls, but we've seen him look so lousy. And maybe to my earlier point about, good thing Donovan McNabb, we didn't catch him on video throwing up, or else we would regard him, we would grade him a little bit lower on his career. But
I think he's going to make it no matter what. If he ends his career on like the path of his brother, then how like Peyton looked when he ended and he like couldn't throw a football and the team was just being carried by the defense and they go like 4-12 or whatever, it's going to definitely hurt him.
Plunkett's not in, and Eli is far superior over the course of his career than Jim Plunkett was. People like to rewrite that stuff. Jim Plunkett, go back through his numbers. He was not a good quarterback for the vast majority of his career. Even in some of those Raiders years. So I go Romo 1, Eli 2, McNabb 3 by a whisker, and that's only because I'm looking at James.
How about Michael Vick's best season as an Eagles quarterback?
Oh, yeah, Michael Vick.
It depends if we're talking about, you know, individual moments or prolonged, because otherwise, obviously, McNabb takes it. But I would say that season, was it 2011, where Michael Vick was
the starting quarterback
and was... Well, no, this is before... I mean, he was the best fantasy player when he was with the Falcons. Sure. But he had one season in Philadelphia where he was outstanding with DeSean Jackson and the team that they built there. And he was... I would argue he's better that season than McNabb was for most of his career as an Eagles starter. He threw the best pass I've ever seen in the NFL during that season.
That's a fun subject too, as you carve up all these different ways to classify quarterbacks. I don't know if that quite gets it to say the best single season, but who was the most sort of like, wow, we've never seen this in the NFL before. We've never seen this in pro football. It's like Patrick Mahomes.
There's only
Patrick Mahomes and
to me.
Marina. Yeah. That's right. 1984 Marino, when he really took off. When you were watching the games, there was a visceral sense of like, wow, this is crazy. Like, nobody's ever done this. It
there
felt
were moments
like
of Mahomes doing that last year.
Right. It felt like Marino, though, was throwing four touchdown passes a game. Like, every game, it was a given, and he was torching teams, and there were not
four touchdowns a game.
Right. Outside of Dan Fouts, there was not a ton of that sort of thing going on at that point in the NFL. Still, though, in the age of offensive, you know, pass first kind of stuff, Mahomes still felt that way last year, right?
Yes. There were moments last year where
Earl Campbell, because I'm older than you, Earl Campbell felt that way when he came in. It was like, wow, nobody can stop him. He's just a bowling ball. Like, he just is trucking guys week after week. That was a good one. The 85 Bears. That's why, again, it's the visceral when you watched it. You like, well, what's anybody supposed to do about this? If you're the QB, as soon as he gets the ball, there are eight guys falling on top of him. Right. There's no way you could do anything. And that's why I always say Marino would have torched that. What you needed was Marino's quick decision-making, quicker release.
I think there were moments with Lawrence Taylor where he got into, you know, for quarters of games where you would watch a game, you'd be like, okay, there's no point. There's no way you can stop Lawrence Taylor at this stage of, you know, during the third quarter of this game, because he can't be stopped.
Yeah, I mean, he made getting a premier tackle an important part of the game.
But Mike Vick is also in that category, sort of when you watched him at Virginia Tech, that this juggernaut Florida State team couldn't handle him. You thought, hey, he's going to get his once he gets down to that Sugar Bowl. Then he'll see a real defense with NFL-level defenders chasing him, and he'll get exposed. And he was torching them. Then he gets to the NFL and is great. But then the whole thing gets out of football. When he came back, that was, for some reason, that was the greatest chapter of them all. In terms of on-field performance, watching him for those Eagles, when they plugged him in there, Kevin Cobb went out. He came in for that game and never looked back. How did their season end that year?
What year was that for the Eagles? 20. I'll just Google it.
2010, I'm going to say. I think that was the Packers over the Steelers Super Bowl year 45.
Yeah, it was 2010 when he had the monster season.
Who? Vic?
Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler that year. So let's find out what the Eagles did.
I'm trying to think of how they went out, because they had at some point during that season
10-6. They won the division.
They lost to the Cowboys.
And yeah.
Oh, was that when they played Dallas back to back weeks? Was that one of those wonky end of season kind of things? Anyway, that's another list in progress. We'll put it into pencil. Are we getting Ali on his way up here?
They lost to the Packers.
They lost to the Cowboys, then Packers. That's what it was. Packers in the playoffs. Brinson responded, said, Eagles first, Cowboys second, Giants third, Redskins with a big gap fourth. He said he's perfectly willing to hear the Giants being better than the Cowboys because of the inconsistency in Dallas before Romo. That was his response.
This is great. Look, in the 21st century, see, we can still go old school and play some form of telephone.
I'll throw one season. I know we brought up RG3 before, but just looking at how the roster of the Redskins in 2012 was kind of whatever, and he was a rookie. His season with 3,200 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, only 5 picks, and then rushing for 800 yards with 7 rushing touchdowns is pretty incredible for what he did.
I mean, RG3's that season is probably one of the 10 greatest seasons or 20 greatest seasons, but in the top 3 for best rookie QB seasons ever.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Cam is my one.
And a 65% completion percentage, too.
If you did it in your first season as a starter, Marino, well, I mean, he started games in the tail end of the preceding year, but as a first year as a starter, Mahomes would be up there. But RG3 and Cam Newton also have to be in that conversation. What else then, Spaghetti? What else do we want to jump into here as we await David Carr? I want to hear if he ever threw up on the field, too. I just made a note of that. Wait, it's already 12:22?
Yeah, you have a hard out.
I know. So is he going to show or not?
The meeting might have run long, but he was going to come up here immediately. But if we had a little bit more time, he might have made it.
Okay.
He is underwhelming in terms of the eating. He may have just gone straight to get some lunch to catch up with you, Eddie, as a thick human being.
Yeah, he's one of these people who watches his figure.
Yeah.
We have no time for people like that. Good.
Eddie, on this list, did you put together this plan for us today?
I did.
You have something here saying, list a minor inconvenience you have recently encountered. Have you encountered a minor inconvenience?
I have.
Just a minor one.
Yeah. It was my debit card. Bank of America called me late last night and said that my debit card was compromised.
Are you kidding? Same with me.
Really?
Yeah.
So they rattled up a bunch of expenses I've done. It's like, oh, your gym membership. Like, yeah, like Ralph's Grocery Store. I'm like, yeah, it's me.
You seem to eat at barbecue restaurants a lot.
Yeah, I know. I did. I took
someone spent $1,000 on food this week.
But then the weird one was a $0 charge. And I'm like, was this like some kind of online thing or whatever? And like, no, it had to be in person. It was like something scanned my card. It was a weird name. And I was like, well, I did not use my debit card anywhere
yesterday. Was it a long thing of letters?
It was like *- something. It was a weird thing. And they said like the guy at Bank of America was like, yeah, you had to use this in person for it to pop up like that. And I was like, I didn't. So he's like, oh, we have to cancel it now because this is clearly fraud.
Oh, it's such an inconvenience.
So then
same
I had to
thing
go to the
happened
bank,
to me.
And now I have a temporary card, but I have a lot of plans this weekend. So I don't have an actual debit card for.
Well, here's what happened to me, Eddie, which is one worse, right? They emailed me and told me your credit card, not debit card, has been canceled. Then I got a new credit card in the mail yesterday. And you have to do this thing to activate it. And when I got on there, they said, your card has been stopped because we've seen suspicious activity. And I was like, yeah, but I've only just got this card. I haven't used it. And they were, well, someone has. And so they had to cancel the card that hadn't yet been used and send me another one. I was like, how is this story going to end? Am I just going to be continually sent new cards that will... And they're like, well, someone's been trying to use your card that's been declined. I was like, yeah, that's me, because I was using the old card before I knew that you had cancelled the card on my behalf. Who knows where that's going? A minor inconvenience.
The security is great, but a part of me is just like, I'd be, you know, whatever. Just if you want to spend a couple of bucks on mine, I'd rather just keep the card and just deal with it.
Well, we have, I can put together a gigantic list. If you give me a week, I could come up with 100 inside of 7 days.
You know, for those listeners who only get to experience Dave in podcast form, in any of his multiple podcasts that he does, Dave, outside of the podcast, his entire life is listing minor inconveniences to his colleagues.
Not just minor ones, to be fair. Major ones, too.
Well, they're minor to most people. They're major to you.
Correct. That's right.
So that is Dave.
I live in the now.
Right.
I'm just sharing my truth.
You're sharing all of the
minor. Oprah told me I have to share my truth. Well, that's all I'm doing.
Your truth is a bunch of a sequence of minor inconveniences.
That's right.
That's what you do.
Hey, very quickly, a couple of things. I'll tell you one thing that inconvenienced my eyeballs and my enjoyment of the movie Back to the Future upon my 70 or 75th watching last night. We were looking at it, and the little ones, you know, I watch it through their eyes, and so they, for some reason, became interested in watching Back to the Future. It's probably over their head. They're a little too young to really grasp time travel. But anyhow, they wanted to look at it.
They actually asked for it by name.
No, I came across and they said, this one, I want to see this one. Oh, and my little 2-year-old girlie, her new phrase is like, I want to watch this how does she say it? I want to watch this a bit more. A bit more? 2-year-old from Los Angeles. I want to watch this a bit more. You've been hanging out with the handsome man a bit more. But I also noticed Marty McFly, you remember, his future father is up in the tree and he falls because he's peeping Tomming his future mom, Marty McFly's future mom, and he falls out of the tree and Marty McFly sees him and he runs into the street and he pushes his dad out of the way and then he gets hit by the car and he falls on the ground and bonks his head and then next thing he knows, he wakes up. He's concussed himself. He's just knocked himself cold on the cement. He's out cold there, and then he wakes up with his future mom doting on him, and she said, oh, you've been asleep for 9 hours. I didn't know if you were going to be all right. Like, they don't take him to the hospital? He just some kid, they hit him with a car, and he conks his head on the ground, and they don't rush him to the emergency room to check to see if he's got a cracked skull or blood on the brain? No, we just thought we'd drag your unconscious form up to a bed.
But this is
disrobe you.
But this is the 1950s.
Yeah, seems inappropriate
back then,
to me.
Back then, I feel like concussions were not a big deal.
Next
thing, okay, sleep it off.
I just wanted to point that one out.
Okay.
Next, Sean Conlon. Can David run in? Of course he can run in. He's welcome anytime.
Yes.
We had to ask him a few things. Yes, David, time is of the essence. Hello, how are you? It's the great David Carr. We're even more handsome now.
It's exciting to see him.
Handsome was Handsome Hank was by somebody on Twitter, David Carr. I hope that's cool. Somebody pointed out that Handsome Hank is, in fact, handsome. That's not taking any of your shine, is it?
That explains the name. So, I mean, that makes sense.
Okay. Hey, Carr, we'll shelve everything else. First question for you today is, did you ever throw up on the field?
In my mouth or, like, out on
like the... Like Donovan McNabb.
No, I don't think so. He was sick.
What do you mean sick?
He was sick. Maybe he had the flu.
How do you know? Why are you here to be his apologist?
Why does he have to be out of shape? He's a professional football player.
I didn't think he was out of shape.
Wasn't it fear? Wasn't it? Yeah. It was the Super Bowl, and it was
late in the Super Bowl, though.
What do you think he was?
Like in the first couple minutes, the fear thing. Wait a second. Fourth quarter.
So, what was your theory on that?
Maybe he's, I don't know.
He didn't feel good. Got a tummy ache.
No, I think he thinks that actually he is out of shape, but he's trying not to have to say that out loud.
That must be.
Yeah, I think he was out of shape.
Really?
I think
that was the problem?
Yeah, and it was the two-minute drill. Because, look, I've been in like the huddle where you start to call a play and you're trying to get – and you get cotton mouth and you're like, oh, I'm dehydrated. I didn't realize I was dehydrated. And then you fight through it. You don't throw up on the field. But, I mean, he was out of shape.
Do you lose the huddle if you do that? Do your
like
teammates
spatially? Like, do you just do
you know what?
We talked
about that already, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Do you think like Brian Westbrook? I'm not calling him out, but do you think a guy like Brian Westbrook's like? I mean, how are we supposed to go forward? Right. This is our leader. He's puking in the big moment.
Yeah, it's inevitable for us to lose this game when our leader just threw up.
But then even in the offseason, you're like, hey, come on, we got to figure something else out here. This can't work.
Couple sprints, real quick, Donovan. You want to join us? Like,
still on the shape thing. Hey, the next question is David Carr. The next question for you is: we've been debating after the whatever small part I played in what happened to you. In the Joe Montana isn't a top 10 quarterback all time.
I brought that upon myself.
I do feel okay because I did say that.
You brought it to light.
I did tell you in the moment, don't do that.
You did. You said, don't do it. I said, I've felt this way since I was 12.
Okay.
So
you know what you are though? You like, and this isn't calling you out in any way, I hope. Okay. I feel like you admire most. Some people, you know what? Reggie Wayne is one of these guys. I think this is the human condition. In fact, you admire most what your skill set is, right?
Yeah.
Joe Montana didn't have your skills.
Yeah, no.
And on some level, you know, you were a more talented guy in a better situation. You should have been in deep playoff runs and so on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, and I mean, guys have that conversation all the time. I look back and I look at where Ben Roethlisberger was drafted and I'm like, why couldn't I go to Pittsburgh at 16 or wherever he was drafted? I mean, that's a pretty good situation. So, yeah, absolutely. And there's also, I mean, there's something to it when you know physically, like if Joe Montana were to show up with the top 50 guys and you didn't know who those guys were and you started throwing the ball, you'd pick Joe Montana like in the bottom half of that group to play quarterback for you. That doesn't say that he wasn't excellent at reading defenses and ran Bill Walsh's system to perfection. I mean, he did. He was great at it. He didn't lose in the Super Bowl. So there's – but if you're just going to grab him and handpick guys – especially if you've played that position, you realize that, man, it'd be really nice to have Dan Marino's ability. I would have loved to have John Elway's, you know, so you grab, there's not much about Joe Montana where you're like, oh yeah, I wish I would have had his.
Well, I talked to Steve Mariucci about this, who supports you, and he says this, Mooch's point is, if Steve Young in 1979 is 21 or whatever, and gets drafted by Bill Walsh and is plugged into that system, that he would have won 4 Super Bowls as well.
I agree with that.
Interesting. I wonder if they drafted him at the same time, who wins in training camp.
Like, he's not really much younger, as a matter of fact. Yeah. I think he's 82. He leaves BYU or maybe 83. So he's not like he's, you know, a decade, the junior of Joe Montana. But the other one that's now come up, David Carr, is Eddie Spaghetti got into a little brush fire with our own Chris Wessling. Because I said, But you heard this McNabb business about he thinks he's as good as Aikman or better than Aikman.
Unfortunately, I did hear that.
And he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Now, that you don't agree with.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
He threw up on the field in the Super Bowl.
I heard about that. Okay. Yeah, I heard about that. McNabb, it turned into McNabb v. Eli. Now, I know you like Eli, but
I'm very partial to
Eli. Who's the better? Who's the better QB?
You're going to do this to me. Eddie's already been in the heat.
Who's the better quarterback?
A lot of heat.
Eli Manning's not even close.
Not close.
Not even close.
I mean,
Donovan's okay. Donovan's a more talented football player. If you go out and you're going to play street football, you're going to pick Donovan McNabb.
I'm not talking about who's a more gifted athlete, because that's how you get sideways.
Right.
Who, in terms of deed, over the course of whatever it's been, a decade and a half for these two high-end quarterbacks, both won divisions, both went to Super Bowls.
Yes.
It's not like one guy was a complete flop.
You would argue that.
By the way, Don McNabb, more career playoff victories, I think, than Eli Manning. So you can't say he was a bust in the postseason. He just didn't win the big game, and he also couldn't come up big in the NFC title games.
I mean, you would argue that Philadelphia had football teams that should have won multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, but
the Giants had teams that probably shouldn't have won the Super Bowls that they won, but they did because of the quarterback.
Yeah, but he was throwing to guys like Todd Pinkston. I mean, he never had a good QB. I mean, good wide receiver, save one year.
Who did?
1 year. He had T.O. He had the 1 year, and he went to the Super Bowl.
Eli had the guy named Steve Smith. It's not our Steve Smith. That was his best guy. He had Plax.
Mario Manningham.
Mario Manningham was not as big as your tripod here. And he found a way to find a little window in the
Okay, let's throw another one in. Tony Romo.
I like Tony's game. Tony didn't manage situations at the end of the game as well as he does in the booth, personally.
But, right.
So I think that's what got him in trouble. He just tried to make too many plays. He was too...
He's a curious case, though, because he also has the most fourth quarter comebacks, too.
So he made a lot of plays, but then, like, for whatever reason, when he really needed it, it just didn't go his way. Like, if honestly, Dez caught it, right?
I mean... That's right. That's my point. If he makes that, we do not talk about
Romo. He made the play. It just didn't get called. I mean, he's a couple years too early with the situation, but... I thought Romo was a good quarterback.
It's a pleasure to see you. I'm sad that I have to be a heel and leave here. No. Yeah. Listen, hopefully we'll do it again sooner rather than later.
We can carry on without you, Dave.
If you guys want to, you're more than welcome to. I do want to arrange Derek. I want to take... What about me and you get in the car and take Derek to training camp?
He would love that.
He would do that?
Yeah, we'd do it.
What a thing that could be.
Yeah.
What a travelogue for all of time in the car with the cars to training camp.
Would you want Antonio to be a part of it? I know he likes to take alternate means of transportation to training camp sometimes.
No. I want Derek, AB, David, and Dave. Okay. What a drive that'll be.
I think it'd be glorious.
Eddie and I will sit in the trunk.
That's listen, I'm not playing games with you. Do you want to do that?
If you want to make it happen, I can make
it happen. Well, how am I going to make it happen? Who am I?
Derek. I'd like to do it and make a phone call.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, I think we should do it.
I think it'd be
a blast. Is everything going nicely with AB up there? They like
it's
each
been
other?
Fine so far. There's no games played yet. So it's
everybody's happy, though?
So far, so good.
John Gruden singing songs about AB.
He loves him.
Did they go a little too far with Incognito? It's not enough to have AB and perfect. Now you got to do Incognito, too.
I mean, they've already gone. It's
I guess.
You know, you're a mess. You're caught out in the rain without an umbrella. Let's just get wet.
I know, right? We're casting the Munsters here. Now we got it. We need that role filled.
Doesn't
right.
matter.
All right, listen, I got to run, but it's been a pleasure to see everybody once again. Sorry, it was a little scattered, but I think ultimately a fun show, right, Eddie Spaghetti?
Still got 42 minutes in. Right. A fun one.
Hey, good to see you, David Carr. Thanks for joining. Watch him on Total Access. Ooh, you'll have something to react to. Who's going to win on Thursday's Total Access? Who's going to win the breakup, the three-way breakup? Bell, Brown, or Roethlisberger?
Oh, wow.
We'll get into that after you see Mike it, David Tomlin. Carr. For now, for Handsome Hank, Eddie Spaghetti, thin slice of heaven.